Folks, I know today that I am almost certain that nobody's going to shoot at me. In fact, I am certain that today I will probably have a meal before me for lunch. And I'm certain that tonight I'll probably lay down on a bed. But you know what? Even if I wasn't certain of those things, even if I wasn't sure that those things were going to happen, there's an incredible promise. And it is what? That Jesus is the way. Isaiah, looking into the future, knew that the Lord, the triune God, was, of course, the one who gives ultimate and perfect peace.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor David Van Beber. Today, Brother Dave preached from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, in his sermon titled, The Way. We are reminded by Brother Dave that Jesus is the way to the Father. We hope that you will enjoy Brother Dave's message, and we pray that it will encourage you on your walk with Christ.
All right, so I really don't want to call attention too much to the fact that I'm going to try to do this new system here. It is really awesome. Drew and Ken put a lot of work into that, and want to make sure that I get everybody on that who worked. Ken, who is everyone that has helped you with that? I just want to make sure I give recognition to the folks. I know they didn't do it for recognition. Vernon Campy also, yes. So Vernon, Drew, and Ken, and Charles Fields. I know you didn't do that for the recognition, but I praise God that you did do it. It is going to be a neat little thing. So here we are in John chapter 1, or chapter 14. Let's stand in honor of God's word. I know I just had you sit down. I apologize. Up, down, up, down, up, down. You're going to think I've converted to being a Catholic. I love God's word. Let's look at God's word today. A very well-known, well-familiarized text. Jesus speaks in John 14, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, and where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Be seated. I'm sure you can be seated this time. I like to go the right way. If you didn't know this, I am someone who does not like to be lost. Does anyone like to be lost? I've been lost one time. On Fort Riley, I was lost. And I was in a car, which is two really bad things. And the third thing, I was 16 years old. So I began to drive around Fort Riley really, really fast, wondering how I might find my way back home. And then when I finally found my way back home, I felt really good. Thankfully, no police officer pulled me over. But boy, I sure like to know the way. I was with Gus recently. We put up his deer stand. We put up my deer stand. And we were wandering out around in the conservation area in a secret place. I can't tell you where. I promise not to. And as we got out there, I began to wonder, where exactly do we go to get back? And it was shocking. Here I am, we've weaved back and forth and back and forth, and I mean, boom, we came out of the woods right at the truck. Boy, that was relieving. There's a really declarative statement that Jesus makes. In fact, I would argue to you that it is more declarative, more authoritative, and more genuine than that statement made of any other religious leader before. And that was that he was what? The way. Jesus made it pretty clear who he was. And I will tell you today, if you ever do compare me to another pastor, I pray and I hope that you could say something about me, David Van Beber, that I proclaim the gospel that Jesus Christ was the way. It's a great quotation from the pastor Parker Camden. He says, "The pulpit princes who have molded the destinies of nations were preachers of the Bible. Their convictions of its supremacy and truth induced in them the ministry worthy of their embassage. Embassage is a big word we don't use, but embassage is like an ambassador. And if you are a preacher of the gospel, you are an ambassador of the Bible. And I pray today that as we uncover and unpack God's word, that you can say, yep, Pastor Dave preached God's word. Let's begin to break this down. Folks, troubling times are ahead. You know, isn't it interesting, 2,000 years ago, troubling times, discouraging times, times of anxiety were what the future was made of. You know one reason that we're afraid of the future? Because we don't know the future. But you see, the believer actually does have some incredible, incredible comfort in knowing that there is a future to be had. You know, it's very interesting. A few years ago, I had some problems with my eyes. I kept having this flash in my eyes. It was right after I got out of high school. And I began to get really scared. I thought, oh my gosh, maybe I have a brain tumor. Oh my gosh, maybe I'm going blind. And the worst part of waiting between my initial time seeing the doctor and actually getting a prescription for reading glasses and being told that I had migraines with aura was that time of not knowing. Folks, we live in a time of not knowing. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know what's going to happen in the next day. And the disciples lived in an exact same day. Here they are at the end of Jesus' ministry in John. Jesus is getting ready to unpack to them what would be called the farewell discourse. And after that, the high priestly prayer. But he wants to prepare their minds and prepare their hearts. And what is the first thing he tells them? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Folks, many of you, I am certain, have sat in these pews before and you've seen other pastors come and other pastors go. But there's some people here who haven't seen that. Cody, Greg, I've been your pastor, haven't I, here? Yeah. I was going to say Danny and Tanya, but they're not here today, and I don't try to call them out for that. But they're folks that haven't known other pastors. They don't know what it's like to live in a church, to be in a church without a leader. I love Michael Scott from The Office. He has this great statement. He says, you know what happens to a chicken when you cut its head off, right? You know, right? It dies, unless it finds another head. I'm not the head. I'm not the head. I am not the head. Jesus is the head. And folks, there's been great things that have occurred in this church in the past 3 years. People have prayed to receive Christ. We had an incredible vacation Bible school, and I know of two incredible miracles that have occurred. It didn't happen because David Van Bever was pastor here. It didn't happen because David Van Bever had a degree in communication. It didn't happen because we have a screen. It didn't happen because we have pews. It didn't happen because there's a rail here. And it didn't happen because there's steps out there or even a building here. It happened because Jesus can declaratively say, what? I am the way. Why are you not to be troubled? Because Jesus is the way. Isaiah 26:3. If you want to turn with me over there to Isaiah 26:3, we'll be back at 14, but let's look at Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 26:3 in the NASB says, "The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you." Folks, I know today that I am almost certain that nobody's going to shoot at me. And in fact, I am certain that today I will probably have a meal before me for lunch. And I'm certain that tonight I'll probably lay down on a bed. But you know what? Even if I wasn't certain of those things, even if I wasn't sure that those things were going to happen, there's an incredible promise. And it is what? That Jesus is the way. Isaiah, looking into the future, knew that the Lord, the triune God, was, of course, the one who gives ultimate and perfect peace. You see, sometimes we forget a little bit about the people who lived in the kingdom of Israel. There was a little bit of anxiety. You see, we don't really deal with that same anxiety as Americans. We don't worry about another kingdom coming in and taking us over, right? Now, some of you might remember, as you were little kids, that there was a little bit of a fear that you're all going to be speaking German or maybe Japanese. I'm not that old. In fact, I know when we went into Desert Storm when I was six, I was cheering, baby. I was ready for the USA to go all the way. The people in Israel had a constant fear. And Isaiah was not a prophet of a whole bunch of, oh, everything's going good. In fact, Isaiah said over and over again, things are going to get bad. Things are going to get bad. I'll never forget before I began to go into basic training, I kept calling my brother-in-law, who was Steve Gray, who had been in the military, and I'd say, well, tell me about basic training. Tell me about basic training. Oh, you're going to hate the drill sergeants. You'll enjoy running, but you're going to hate the drill sergeants. And I'd talk to someone else, oh, man, you're going to hate going to basic training. And then other people, oh, you'll hate the military. A little bit of anxiety because I didn't know what was going on. A little bit of fear because there was a threat in the future. Folks, there's no threat in the future if we can take peace in Jesus Christ, that He is the way. Do not let your hearts be troubled. It then calls a question to us in this first verse. If we're not going to let our hearts be troubled, how can we have assurance? Because we trust in God. Trust also in me, Jesus says. It's interesting in John 10:30, Jesus says, I and the Father are what, one? Jesus says in His high priestly prayer, if you want to turn over with me to John 17:5, He says, now glorify me, Father, together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. We can take ultimate hope in Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ was the way. Jesus Christ is one with the Father, and only God can give us peace in the way that Jesus promises to give us peace. Don't know about you, but when I was in grade school, I always loved coming to the end of the school year. I was so excited for the summer, right? There's things to look forward to. I'm going to get a reward. Or maybe if you're someone who is so fortunate as to run like distance running, like Victoria over here. When you're running that race, Victoria, you get the mile race, you get that first lap, oh yeah, oh good. Second lap, oh yeah, okay. Third lap, okay. Fourth lap, you're saying, I'm ready to get done just so I can get a drink of water. Jesus promises that there's something to look forward to. Something better than a drink of water. You see, we get to be with Him. There's something much greater than what we have. You know, I can take a great peace in knowing that Jesus Christ objectively lived, objectively spoke, and He was who He said He was. There's something greater than Calhoun Baptist Church. There's something greater than David Van Beber. There's something greater than a brand new Cadillac or whatever kind of car you like. There is something greater, and that thing is being in the presence of the Lord in a sin-free world. You see, we've got a great home. Last week was a little bit sad when Anna Myrtle left. In fact, I stood up here and she cried and I hugged her. And I told her as she walked out, I said, I'll see you in heaven. And Valerie looked at me and was like, that was a little bit, no. I say that and I say it with great assurance. I'll see you in heaven. I might not ever see her again. I'm going to actually try to come on Thursday to help you guys, if I can, Ken. I'm going to have to look. I've got a few unpacking things to do, but if I can, I'm going to be there. But if I don't, I'll see her in heaven. I love what happens in Acts chapter 20. Turn with me over there. We've been going through Acts, and so we know that the story of Acts is a story of the gospel spreading, the story of the gospel moving from place to place, and people becoming saved. I love Acts 19:19, when they grab their books in Ephesus, and they go and they burn the books. But of course, in Acts 20, we kind of get a little bit of a jump. Paul has left Ephesus, he's gone and he's worked at some other churches, and now he is headed to Rome. He's headed to his trial. And he goes to the church and he gives them a brief sermon, and here's what happens at the end of that brief sermon. After Paul has spoken, it says this in verse 36. When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all, and they began to weep aloud and embraced Paul and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the word which he had spoken, that they would not see his face again, and they were accompanying him to the ship. You see, Paul had spent a lot of time with some folks and invested in some folks and loved on some folks and saw an incredible transformation. But God called him elsewhere. But Paul knew there was more than just that. Now, I will tell you, if everyone starts coming to me and kissing me, my wife's not going to be happy. I don't know, I like Jeff, but I really don't want him to kiss me. And as much as I love Terry, I don't think that that would be a good thing. I say that jokingly, but man, these folks were serious. They had loved the Lord together. Boy, there's a unifying thing in serving the Lord together. There's a unifying thing in selling out for Christ so that others can come to know the way. Turn with me to John 13, 36. This is right before John 14. Peter kind of prompts Jesus. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus said, "Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me later." Folks, Christ went to prepare a place. And you know what? I might be in Buffalo. I might be in Kansas City. I might be in New York City. You think of that Picante commercial. New York City. No, nobody remembers that one, huh? I don't know where the Lord's going to call you. I don't know if the Lord's going to keep you right here. But I've said it before, I'll say it again. One day someone's going to be taken up here, and I'm not going to be taken up here, I don't think, to be buried unless I die probably sometime this day. But we're all going to go to a grave somewhere. Is there a place that's prepared for you? You know, the disciples didn't completely understand what Jesus was talking about when he said this. Boy, I feel bad for those who don't. If he's going to prepare a place for us, he says in verse 3, what? He's going to come again and grab you. He's going to come again and get you. Folks, we've got a promise beyond what we could ever comprehend. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard. Boy, that's a pretty awesome message, isn't it? Maybe you've experienced that feeling. I can't tell you how good it feels. I can't tell you how much I love you. Boy, the kingdom of God is beyond what anyone could imagine. Jesus puts it into human language for us here, that he's going to go up and prepare a place for us, and he's going to come back and he's going to grab us. Do we long to be there? Or have we tried to make this a kingdom of our own? Folks, I really do love this church. I got married here. I got ordained here. My goodness. I love the picture, I still have it, of everybody gathered right here when I fell praying for me. Pretty awesome stuff. But this isn't my kingdom. This isn't your kingdom. And the biggest problem with churches, according to Tom Rainer over and over again, is that they build religious fortresses. Are you in love with the building? Are you in love with the memories? Or are you in love with the way? You see, if you're in love with the way, it doesn't matter what color the carpet is. It doesn't matter how bright the lights are. Got to visit with a gentleman who grew up in Kenya. His parents were missionaries over there. I went to SBU with him. In fact, we all even called him Kenya because that's where he grew up. And he had a Kenyan flag in his room. And he told me about some of the great services they would have there. In these huts, they would worship for hours. Maybe some of you have been in a dirt floor hut and worshiped with believers. Maybe some of you have sat under a tree. You know what? It doesn't matter where you worship. It matters where you're going. If Jesus is going to prepare a place, does he have a place for you? Anyone ever use the internet to get a hotel room? You get on Priceline.com or Orbitz.com or, I don't know, all these weird names, Bongo.com, I have no clue. Type in and you put your name in. And if you're like me, as you drive up to the hotel, you think, you got your piece of paper there and it's got your confirmation, and you think, you know what, I really hope that this actually went through. First time I did it, I was so nervous. I was driving down to Arkansas and there was a little hotel. It wasn't a Motel 6, I think it was called Motel 7 or something like that, you know. We're better than 6, we're 7. And if you go down to Springfield, there was a Motel 6, Motel 7, Motel 8, all on the same block, right? And as I drove up to the hotel, I began to think, of course, I had that little piece of paper in my hand. I thought, boy, I sure hope that they got this because I had never done this before. I don't have to hope that there's a place prepared for me. I don't have to hope. Notice that it wasn't me who prepared the place. Notice that it wasn't anyone else who prepared the place. Who was it that prepared the place? It's by grace you have been saved, not a work of your own, that any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, I believe that's verse 8 or 9. Sometimes I get them confused. You can check me. I didn't prepare it. I don't have to stand there nervous. It's right there. Better not be too Baptistic. I'll get in trouble every once in a while. You know what I mean? I've used that joke like the whole time I've been here. I better not be too Baptistic. You know what I mean by that? I better not be too long-winded. That's what I like about John 14. Jesus is brief, baby. Brief and to the point. But Baptistic means you're a little bit too long, so that's why I use that joke. And some people get it and some people don't, and some people think that I mean, I'm like, I don't know what they mean. They think they just laugh because other people are laughing. Or, oh yeah, what's a Baptist? Verse 4. And you know the way where I am going. You know what's so crazy about this verse? They don't. They don't know the way where Jesus is going. And how do I know that? Well, verse 5, Thomas opens up his big mouth. Usually Peter's the one who opens up his mouth. You know, open mouth, insert foot. You ever heard that expression? But Thomas is pretty clear. Let me jump back to 4. I don't want to get too unorganized. You know the way where I'm going. Now, I've used this analogy before, some on Wednesday night. You have to forgive me. But who remembers Our Gang, right? Or the Little Rascals? You remember them, right? And some of you have heard me use this, but it's okay. I want to say it again because I love the picture. There's this great episode where Our Gang or the Little Rascals, they build this soapbox to go in a soapbox derby. But they put everybody in it, and it's like really long. You know, a soapbox usually has one person in it, right? And in the episode, they start going down the hill, and it bends back, or like bends in half, right? And Stymie is riding. Stymie's Buckwheat's bigger brother, for those of you who don't remember. He's riding backwards, and then there's a little kid. I can't remember the kid's name that they were always having competitions with, but the little rich kid is riding by on his soapbox. And he looks at Stymie, and he goes, "Where are you going?" And Stymie goes, "I don't know, but I'm on my way." That's how a lot of people live. Unfortunately. But see, I know where I'm going. When Jesus says this, I can say, yes, sir. You know the way where I'm going? You bet I do. I love Philippians 3:10, those of you who don't know it. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. You know what the way is? It's a hard way. Being a follower of Christ is not an easy thing. You're going to face persecution. In fact, Jesus tells us that if they hated him, they're going to hate us too. I love what 2 Timothy 3:12 also tells us, that those who are going to follow Christ are going to face persecution. And John 15:20 is the one that I was thinking about. Remember the word that I said to you. Excuse me, I wrote that down wrong. Yeah, no, I did. I got it right. Remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. The way is not an easy way. In fact, there's a lot of people who miss out. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 tells us this. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. But Jesus made it pretty clear, didn't he? I mean, think of the simplicity. He taught for a long time. He tells them, don't worry, God's in control. I am God. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Do you know the way to get there? Thomas says, no, I don't. And there's a lot of people who miss out. You see, there's even a lot of people who say they're saved, but they miss out as well. Take that from Matthew 7 also. Matthew 7, 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. If that verse doesn't make you think just a little bit, you know, I never cast out a demon and I never healed anybody. Didn't perform any miracles. Folks, don't miss out on the simple message that's coming up next. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but through me. He's the only one who can make that claim. There is an objective truth right there. The truth. It's interesting that just a little bit later in John 17, 17, Jesus prays, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. How do we know the way? I don't worship the Bible. You know, I do tell you many times, I believe in God's inspired and errant, infallible word, right? I really do. I believe that the canon is correct, and I believe that the early church had some things right. I believe actually when Athanasius wrote in 367 about the 27 books in the New Testament that he was correct. And I know that Jesus never corrected the Pharisees for their Old Testament books. He agreed with their canon. 39 and 27, 66. Did I get my numbers wrong? No, good. Folks, real life is found in the Lord. Jesus is the way. Calhoun Baptist Church is not the way. Keep hanging on to the way. Cling on to the good stuff. Grab on to the truth. Well, our time has come to a close. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. I don't know how the Lord is working on your heart today, but I know that when God's word goes out, that it does work on hearts. And you know what? I don't have to worry about if my message was good enough, because God's message is always good enough. Please stand. Hymn number 320. However God is working on your heart today, I do ask you, respond if it is there in your seat or if you need to come forward.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe that you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in a local church, and to share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.